seen under two forms signifies one and the same issue of things. Jung, who in his Beitrag zur Psychologie der Gekrückte relates how the veiled erotic dream of a schoolgirl was understood by her friends without interpretation and continued by them with variations, remarks in connection with reports of this dream that the last of a long series of dream pictures contained precisely the same thought whose representation had been attempted in the first picture of the series. The censor pushed the complex out of the way as long as possible, though constantly renewed symbolic concealments, displacements, deviations into the harmless, etc. LC, page 87. Scherner was well acquainted with the peculiarities of dream disfigurement, and describes them at the end of his theory of organic stimulation as a special law, page 166. But finally, the fantasy observes the general law in all nerve stimuli emanating from symbolic dream formations, by representing at the beginning of the dream only the remotest and freest allusions to the stimulating object. But towards the end, when the power of representation becomes exhausted, it presents the stimulus, or its concerned organ, or its function in unconcealed form, and in the way this dream designates its organic motive and reaches its end. A new confirmation of Scherner's law has been furnished by Otto Rank in his work A Self-Interpretation Dream. This dream of a girl reported by him consisted of two dreams, separated in time of the same night, the second of which ended with pollution. This pollution dream could be interpreted in all its details by disregarding a great many of the ideas contributed by the dreamer, and the profuse relations between the two dream contents indicated that the first dream expressed in bashful language the same thing as the second, so that the latter, the pollution dream, helped to a full explanation of the former. From this example, Rank, with perfect justice, draws conclusions concerning the significance of pollution dreams in general. But in my experience, it is only in rare cases that one is in a position to interpret clearness or confusion in the dream as certainty or doubt in the dream material. Later I shall try to discover the factor in the formation of dreams upon whose influence this scale of qualities essentially depends. In some dreams, which adhere for a time to a certain situation and scenery, there occur interruptions described in the following words. But then it seemed as though it were at the same time another place, and there such and such a thing happened. What thus interrupts the main trend of the dream, which after a while may be continued again, turns out to be a subordinate idea, an interpolated thought in the dream material. A conditional relation in the dream thoughts is represented by simultaneousness in the dream. Then, one, if, when. What is signified by the sensation of impeded movement, which so often occurs in the dream, and which is so closely allied to anxiety? One wants to move, and is unable to stir from the spot, or one wants to accomplish something, and meets one obstacle after another. The train is about to start, and one cannot reach it. One's hand is raised to avenge an insult, and its strength fails, etc. We have already encountered this sensation in exhibition dreams, but have as yet made no serious attempt to interpret it. It is convenient, but inadequate, to answer that there is motor paralysis in sleep, which manifests itself by means of the sensation alluded to. We may ask, why is it then that we do not dream continually of these impeded motions? And we are justified in supposing that this sensation, constantly appearing in sleep, serves some purpose or other in representation, and is brought about by a need occurring in the dream material for this sort of representation. Failure to accomplish does not always appear in the dream as a sensation, but also simply as a part of the dream content. I believe that a case of this sort is particularly well suited to enlighten us about the significance of this characteristic of the dream. I shall give an abridged report of a dream in which I seem to be accused of dishonesty. The scene is a mixture, consisting of a private sanatorium and several other buildings. A lackey appears to call me to an examination. I know in the dream that something has been missed, and that the examination is taking place because I am suspected of having appropriated the lost article. Analysis shows that examination is to be taken in two senses, and also means medical examination. Being conscious of my innocence, and of the fact that I have been called in for consultation, I calmly follow the lackey. We are received at the door by another lackey, who says, pointing to me, "Is that the person whom you have brought? Why, he is a respectable man." Thereupon, without any lackey, I enter a great hall in which machines are standing, and which reminds me of an inferno with its hellish modes of punishment. I see a colleague strapped onto one apparatus who has every reason to be concerned about me, but he takes no notice of me. Then I am given to understand that I may now go. Then I cannot find my hat, and cannot go after all. The wish which the dream fulfills is obviously that I may be acknowledged to be an honest man, and may go. All kinds of subject matter containing a contradiction of this idea must therefore be present in the dream thoughts. The fact that I may go is the sign of my absolution. If, then, the dream furnishes at its close an event which prevents me from going, we may readily conclude that the suppressed subject matter of the contradiction asserts itself in this feature. The circumstance that I cannot find my hat therefore means, you are not an honest man after all. Failure to accomplish in the dream is the expression of a contradiction, a no, and therefore the earlier assertion to the effect that the dream is not capable of expressing a negation must be revised accordingly. In other dreams which involve failure to accomplish a thing not only as a situation but also as a sensation, the same contradiction is more emphatically expressed in the form of a volition, to which a counter-volition opposes itself. Thus the sensation of impeded motion represents a conflict of will. We shall hear later that this very motor paralysis belongs to the fundamental conditions of the psychic process in dreaming. Now the impulse which is transferred to motor channels is nothing else than the will, and the fact that we are sure to find this impulse impeded in the dream makes the whole process extraordinarily well suited to represent volition and the no which opposes itself thereto. From my explanation of anxiety, it is easy to understand why the sensation of thwarted will is so closely allied to anxiety, and why it is so often connected with it in the dream. Anxiety is a libidinous impulse which emanates from the unconscious and is inhibited by the foreconscious. Therefore, when a sensation of inhibition in the dream is accompanied by anxiety, there must also be present a volition which has at one time